Let's run.
Welcome to the Ohio Hammer Podcast. Your hosts are Andrew Sherman, thank God for editing, and Jake Hunter.
Why? You don't edit anyway.
Hello, hello, hello. Welcome to Ohio Hammer, episode number 75. I'm Andrew Sherman, and with me today on the ride to WCW is Jay Fares. How are you doing today, Jay?
Doing great, Andy. How are things on your end?
Well, the drive is kind of quiet right now. It's dark outside. We didn't get rolling about 7:30, did we?
Yeah. Dang it. Work.
Work. Darn it.
Happens to the best of us, though, right?
It does. It does. And this time, I'm not the one who is actually slowing up production of getting on the road. I was kind of happy here. It's nice to know I'm not the only one who gets stuck at work, Jay.
Oh, it kills me, man. And it always happens when you're trying to get somewhere, do something, be somewhere. Work. Got to work late. Got to do something. Whatever.
That's right. So, Jay, this is your first time on the podcast for Warhammer Fantasy Battles and Ohio Hammer. And It's interesting to me because it's also the last Warhammer Fantasy Battles 8th Edition tournament you're going to.
You're just saving the best for last, Andy. It's all good.
That's what it is, right?
Exactly.
So why don't you tell us a little bit about yourself? How long you've been in miniature hobbies? You know, let the listeners know who you are.
Well, like you said, name's Jay Fares. Started doing the tabletop gaming just a few years ago, actually. I didn't start playing anything until, I guess it was that transition from 7th into 8th. So I've only played 8th. I started out playing High Elves.
So you're a skirt wearer. Are you Scottish at heart, or are you just like dressing up as a woman?
Maybe yes, maybe no.
Maybe.
But nope, always been kind of an elf freak. When I was younger, I played role-playing games, and a lot of times I was the typical, like, elven ranger or, you know, elf fighter, that kind of thing. And then so that kind of carried over into my tabletop gaming. Okay. High elves, just fantastic stuff. I love them.
That's cool. They're a good army, man. A lot of good fluff behind them. I mean, don't get me wrong. They wear skirts, so it's a little bit weird to me. But, you know, hey, I understand it.
Right. Well, they're a good army, but if only I was a better player.
Yeah, right. We can all say that. We can all say that. So how many years you've been playing 8th edition? Because this is actually when you got started in was 8th, right, for Warhammer Fantasy?
That's exactly right. So 8th is the only thing I've known. So that's, what, three, almost four years?
Well, it's actually been 5, right, before the destruction of the Warhammer world in July. But,
yeah.
Yeah, right?
Yeah. Oh, my God, it's over.
Ugh.
Right? Oh, from the ashes.
Yeah. But you know, that's it. It's a decent amount of time to go ahead and get involved. I mean, what do you think of the community so far? Are you really enjoying it?
Honestly, that's been probably the biggest thing and the most rewarding thing. I got into it just expecting to play with, you know, a couple of buddies that got me into it, and that was that. And then I went to my first tournament, which was Buckeye Battles. Three years ago. So
yeah.
Jeff Parkhurst puts on a great show. So, you know, always really good seeing him, and met a lot of really good guys as a result. So I'm definitely stoked and pleased that I got into it. It's how I met you, Andy. So
that is how we met. I mean, you were part of the legendary cheaters, you know, so we ended up bringing you on board all them years ago to go ahead and start talking to your group.
Exactly right. The legendary cheaters, also known as the legendary gamers.
Yep.
And the, you know, we're only legendary in our own minds, so it's all good.
Yep. And you brought up Buckeye Battles. You know, I mean, Jeff Parkhurst is one of our dear friends. You know, I've made the comparison over the years, especially when you talk about Buckeye Battles compared to the tournament scene. You know, you can kind of equate the different tournaments to TV shows, right? And really, you know, or movies. And you talk about WAPACA as more like a fraternity house. So, you know, there's plenty of fraternity movies over the years that we can go ahead and we can compare that to.
Gotta love them.
You know, but Buckeye, really, when it comes down to it, is more of like the show Cheers, right? Buckeye is that event where
everybody
you go
knows
there,
your name.
Everybody knows your name, and everybody's glad you came, right? And, you know, we're going this year to WCW, the last one, the last 8th edition Warhammer event. And this one's going to be more like an episode of WWE Raw.
Very so, true. Let's throw down.
I know, right? Or either that or SmackDown, maybe. One or the other, right?
Pick your poison, right?
Pick your poison. So that's enough for the intro here. I say we go ahead and we take a quick commercial break. And we come back and we'll talk a little bit more about WCW.
Sounds great. Looking forward to it.
We need to talk.
What about?
The SEC is overrated.
Not Michigan.
Yeah.
But they've won 8 national championships in the last 15 years.
Yeah, but...
And haven't 4 different SEC teams won in that time? More than twice any other conference.
Quiet. Dad is trying to make a point. Have we talked about echo chambers yet? In the SEC, if a bottom team beats a top team, then the national narrative is that the SEC is a deep, tough conference. But if it happens in any other conference, the national narrative is that that conference is having a down year at the top.
That's complicated. I don't think anyone in the SEC is going to understand that except for Vanderbilt.
Don't get me wrong. There are good teams in the SEC, except for Vanderbilt. But the national narrative of the SEC is built in a myth like Bigfoot, the Loch Ness Monster.
Nebraska's relevance.
Exactly.
Does the SEC produce high level quarterbacks?
Isn't that the most important position?
Not in the SEC. That'd be the boosters who pay the players.
How did the Smith get started?
I don't know. Could you pass me that bowl of sour grapes, please?
What if no one in the SEC made it to the college football playoff this year?
That would be freaking awesome. But the SEC would probably start another civil war.
They would lose that one, too.
I love you guys.
Talk to your kids about the SEC myth today.
Go Hawks!
And we're back. And I want to give a quick shout-out to that commercial that you just heard from the Iowa Hawkeye Nation in response to a YouTube video that I found the other day explaining why Iowa is undefeated. Y'all know I'm a Buckeye fan and a Big Ten fan here for college football. I.O. Y'all know that we're Big Ten fans here at Ohio Hammer. And I saw this YouTube video explaining how Iowa was undefeated. It's an Alabama dad explaining Iowa being undefeated. And then I saw the response video, which is the commercial you just heard, explaining the SEC myth. And I thought it was too good to leave out of this podcast, especially with how big of a college football fan I am. So, you know, I have to say it was pretty funny, wasn't it?
Hilarious. Loved it.
Oh, my God. It was good stuff. So I hope everybody here enjoyed that the same as we did, because we were rolling when we heard it the first time.
Couldn't help but bust it up, man.
That's right. But on to WCW, the big event, the main event coming up to it. We're about 2.5 hours away right now. What are you taking, Jay? You said high elves. You're taking the skirts.
Oh,
what's
yeah.
What's on your list?
Definitely playing with the skirts, man. Love skirts. So I'm doing a little bit cheesier list than what I usually do. A lot of the tournaments I've been fortunate to play in have been comped slightly. So this one I'm just kind of bringing what I feel like.
Does that mean you've been hanging around Jeremy Gottschalk, who's been on the podcast before? Is that why you're playing cheesy?
Maybe a little bit.
Maybe. So what's in your list? What's the cheesiness you got here, buddy?
All right, well, it's a Calvary Prince list. So got a, you know, well-built prince leading the army. A mage, got a bus of silver helms running the Banner of the World Dragon or the Banner of the Cheating Dragon, if you want to go that route.
Only if you're playing demons, it's Banner of the Cheating Dragon.
Very true.
Many other armies just don't care, like orcs and goblins. They can't generate magic attacks, right?
They're like, eh, whatever.
Yeah, whatever.
Yep, also running a level 4 Shadow Mage with the Book of Hoeth or the
Book of Hooker.
Exactly
there
right.
Oh, yes, Book of Hooker.
And then kind of the round out the cheesiness, everybody's favorite, Double Frost Phoenix.
Oh, you just broke my heart there, Jay.
Love them. Those things are fantastic.
That is the freaking most broke model in the freaking game, the freaking Frost Phoenix. Oh, my God. And you got two of them?
Double Frosty.
Oh, geez, oh, Pete's.
How about So, Andy, you know, we've already talked about what I'm bringing. What's up with you?
Well, I honestly turned my list in late here for WCW, and it was actually today that I'm sitting down trying to figure out what I'm packing up. So I'm sitting in front of my phone with Quartermaster, and I realize that WCW is 2,500 points, and the event we just went to a couple months ago, which was the last podcast we actually aired before the site crashed, was Strength in Numbers, 2,500 points. And I'm like, huh, I haven't played a game since then. Why don't I just use the same list?
Oh, cut and paste.
Cut
done.
And paste. That's right. So edit the name. Now it's WCW's list. So that list, if you guys forget, it's basically a Luminarch, 2 Hellblasters with Double Engineer, 2 Cannon, 5 Pistolers, 4 Demigriffs with Standard Bearer, Muzo, 9 Inner Circle Knights, 2 5-man units of Knights, 1 with Great Weapons, 1 with Lances, 1 28-man unit of Halberders, a Peg Rider, a Captain BSB on a horse, a Warrior Priest on a horse, and then a level 1 Metal Wizard on a horse, followed by the granddaddy of them all, a level 4 Celestial Wizard on a horse. It's pretty good stuff. It served me well. I went 5-0 at Strength in Numbers.
Nice.
The comp is about a 6.2 to 6.4, I forget, from back then. But this is not an event because, honestly, I haven't played a single game of 8th edition since Strength in Numbers. So I'm not expecting to go out there and be 5-0 with this list, but I'm pretty comfortable with the way it's going to play. And this WCW is more about the experience, being the last hurrah, getting a chance to get together with all the Midwest personalities again, you know, go see the guys. And if I go 3-2, hell, if I go 1-4, I think I'm going to be okay this weekend, right? It's not about that, especially since I'm going to have the best decked out costume in the entire arena. I'm just saying right now.
It's hot. It's You're going to love it.
It's hot. Maggots! That's right. You're dismissed. You'll be waiting to see pictures posted up on the website for this one. And mentioning the website, honestly, so the team knows, you might have been wondering why we haven't recorded in a while. And I guess I could have dropped this in the intro, but our site, just like a lot of other podcast sites, we're running off of WordPress. At least we used to. And WordPress had massive attacks across all the websites. And actually, ours was one of the first ones to get hit. And I've been slowly migrating over to a place called Squarespace, which is where the feeds are now kept at. So if you've wondered why Ohio Hammer as a whole has dropped off the radar, it's only been because I've been putting my focus on getting that up and running. It's actually one of the reasons I also dropped off as a host of Countercharge for a little bit. Not because I'm not interested in gaming, I just plain haven't had the time because I had to rebuild it from scratch. And keep in mind, guys, I'm not stupid with technology, but I'm also, it takes me a while to learn how to do stuff. And when you migrate from something like WordPress to another server that'd be like Squarespace, trying to learn the differences of how to set up a website, it's like getting used to a Mac after you're used to Windows. It's kind of like Greek. So you have to reteach yourself everything you thought you knew about how to do a podcast, how to upload, how to make sure that you split your feeds. It's every single thing.
You had it right when you just said you were slow.
That's funny. Yeah, I kind of am. I'm long-winded, too, if you can't tell. That's why I talk a lot on the podcast.
I didn't pick that up at all.
Not at all, after 4 years, huh? So what are your expectations, Jay, to go through this weekend? I mean, you're taking a power gamer list here, man. I mean, are you going to go 5-0?
I take the power gamer stuff so I can make up for my bad player status, honestly.
Oh, see, I expected some loaded dice here coming from the legendary cheaters.
Who says I'm not?
So what's your costume here?
Are
you coming as Coco Beware? Is that what it is? I'm telling you, dude, that's exactly what you should be doing, Coco Beware.
We'll have to look into it. It'll be a surprise.
It'll be a surprise? All right. What do you expect to get out of this weekend? Is there anything that you're excited to do?
Honestly, I'm just excited to see the group of guys that I've made friends with. So, you know, hanging out with yourself, Jeremy, as well as the guys from Chicago. So, you know, Grant, coming for you. Looking forward to some beers later.
And since this is the last 8th edition tournament, you know, what's in it for the future for you before we go here? I'm sure you had to have thought about it some.
Well, unfortunately, with it being the end of 8th, it is kind of a bittersweet tournament. You know, it's always great seeing the guys, but my main concern at this point is the group going to be able to kind of hold together and continue gaming, whether it's ninth edition, which, you know, there's been a lot of word on the street.
TheNinthAge.com. Check it out. It's actually pretty good.
Woot woot. Also, you know, kind of looking at maybe doing some like Kings of War. Those are really the only two things I'm looking at personally. I like what I like, and Warhammer 8th has been a really good thing for me. So I'd like to kind of carry that over with the 9th Age or get into the Kings of War aspect.
And there's nothing to say you can't do both still, right? I mean, neither one of those game systems yet have a fleshed out background. And let's be honest, 9th Age is going to do nothing but continue on with the old 8th Ed storyline that we had probably. That would be my guess, right? Is that that's what we're all going to think it is.
That's kind of the way it's sounding.
Which, and yes, I understand the world is destroyed, but really it's kind of like playing historicals, right? I mean, we already know how World War II ended up, but people still play as the Germans.
Guten Tag.
Yeah, right? So, I mean, and Mantic is doing a good job with their releases, but, you know, they don't have a real fleshed out background yet. And you know, I've made that comment even to Ronnie himself. You know, hey, that's one thing to improve upon in the future, and it'll come. But the company's only 5 years old. It's not like, you know, GW, 30 years of Warhammer, and they have all these novels and stuff out. So, you know, why not play both until they get their stuff together?
Exactly. They're working the kinks out, so to speak. But, yeah, I don't have any problem with playing both. Again, I'm just looking to hang out with the friends and have a good time. So as part of that, let's make sure we're drinking some beers.
Yes, let's make sure we're drinking some beers. That's one of the best things about going out on the tournament scene is the fact of the brotherhood that you create. It's like you only get to see these guys a few times a year. So it's important to us when we go out to make sure that we get that bonding in because, you know, we're seeing people from all over the country. And sometimes, you know, when it's like Buckeye Battles and it's Izzy, you know, it's all over the world, right? I mean, it's just important to make certain that people understand gaming as a whole is not about winning like the video gamers play where they're screaming at their TVs in their basement. You know, it's about looking at across and having a good time with your opponent.
Exactly.
And we need to make sure that we try to do what we can to keep the community together. But I'm extremely excited about this weekend. WCW is going to be a blast. But on that note, why don't we go ahead and take a quick commercial break? And when we come back, it'll be one of two things. We'll either be live from the event, or we'll be on the car ride home after the event. Depends on how much beer we drink when we're there.
Lots.
I mean, if it's going to be lots, you know, we might not record very much.
I can't feel my face.
Yeah, I can't feel my face. That's awesome. It won't be like Wapaka a couple years ago, though, guys. Okay, I promise you that. There will be no drawing on anybody's faces.
What's that, Richard?
Yeah, right? So when we come back, you know, we'll be talking about our games, right? And give you more of an update on what's coming up in the future of Ohio Hammer. See you guys.
What?
I'm never gonna And we're back. So we are done now with WCW Throwdown GT, and we've had a fantastic time. Jay, did you enjoy the event?
It was a blast. Had a great time with everybody there.
So I guess the first thing we should do is, you know, go ahead and go through a rendition of our games, talk about the outside activities, you know, but really it doesn't get any better than when we entered into the building, did it not? You know what I mean? It was probably, you know, midnight, 1 o'clock in the morning our time, and everybody's drinking, having a great time, and we kind of caught them by surprise, did we not?
Exactly right. We just kind of jumped right in with them, but I think more than anything, the fact that you showed up wearing what?
I ended up showing up for the party as Sergeant Slaughter from the old WWE, WWF.
Woot woot.
Yeah, so come on in the room. I'm all dressed up as a drill sergeant, and I started like, maggots! Right? It was pretty funny. And everybody's hilarious. Looking at me, couldn't figure out who I was, and it was pretty good. So, and that'll lead into later on into the competition, because a lot of guys dressed up, and they came out with some pretty crazy stuff, but... You know, Friday night, we drank a bunch. We went ahead and, you know, got some games in on Saturday. You know, Jay, take us away with your first one. Tell us how you did.
Saturday, first opponent was Jesse Silva. Great game, great guy. He was playing Skaven. Myself, I always feel like I have a hard time playing against Skaven. Just need to get more practice in against him, to be honest.
Scott normally owns you here.
That's the problem, too.
That's funny. Because he owns very few people in the world, but he owns you. So, well, I'm not going to say nothing.
It is what it is. Like I said, right. I just need more help with Skaven. But unfortunately, I did start the tournament off with a loss. It was a pretty close one. But at the same time, you know, a loss is a loss, and I'm there to win. But
yeah, you're there to go rock it out and be on, I don't know, maybe table two would be where you'd want to be at sometime later on in the tournament. That's kind of your goal in life, isn't it?
Exactly.
Get up to the big boy room, get to round table one, table two, and try to play it as it rolls, right?
Exactly right, exactly right. But, you know, again, like I said, great opponent, great game, had a lot of fun. So how about you, Andy? How was your first game?
My first game, I got a chance to play against Tiny Shibe. So played against her before, really nice lady. We played back in probably 2011. She had, I had my Wood Elves back then when I ended up winning the Waupaca trip, right? So it was a lot of fun. And, that was a game where in Paca you could go ahead and sing for bonus points to boost your spells. So I was sitting there singing to her, you know, did she ever know that she was my hero, right? You know, and she's all that I wish that I could be. And
that's hilarious.
And this time, you know, the next time we come up with against each other, there's another crazy thing going on. And there I am, Sergeant Slaughter, dressed up against China, all right? So if you all remember the old 90s, China, the one that would, like, beat somebody up 6'6", you know, and she'd, like, step on her opponent and, like, kind of do the muscular pose and, you know, the type of the gym is that way kind of pose, you know what I mean?
The flex down.
Yeah, with the fishnets on, and it was a good time. I mean, she pulled it off pretty good. And she's always a blast to play, and this one was Empire versus Empire. And she's very knight heavy, and I was able to. There was a lot of impassable terrain on our board. I don't know if you guys had the same thing.
It seemed like it was that way across a lot of the tables, impassable terrain or buildings.
And I think that the reason why it felt like it was so much is because they started out by giving you this this wrestler in the center, right? Because wrestling themed tournament,
exactly.
And this wrestler is on like a 50x50 base. Plus, you know, he kind of extends off, and they tell you he's impassable. And then you got two pieces of impassable terrain on the center line. And then you've got your own wrestle that you put on there that's on a 40x40, and they're impassable. Yeah. So we had five pieces of impassable terrain before another piece that we decided before game was impassable as well. So in this game, there's six pieces of impassable terrain. She's got a cav-heavy army, and we're playing the one where, yeah, I want to say it's called Dawn Attack, where it's the 1-2 for left, right, and then 3-4-5 center and six. And her whole army, all her cav, gets stuck off on the one... on the one flank. So it's like, I get to play the Battle of Thermopylae here, right? You know what I mean? Like, Battle of the Pass. I'm like, hell yeah, right? You know, and I just picked her apart. It was, she's always an awesome game, but it was a big win to me, and it was a great round one. So how about you, round two, Jay? Where were you at this point in time?
Round two, I was, you know, where I usually am, middle to bottom of the pack.
Middle to bottom of the pack, huh?
Yeah, so second game was against James Nelson. He played Dwarves. This one was the one where we set up on a diagonal.
Yep.
Really good game. This one turned out a lot better for me.
Good.
Yeah, real big win on my part, but... It was one of those things where I was able to get my Frost Phoenixes around to the flank and then just ate some war machines. And that's exactly right.
You know what
right.
it's like when you get there at turn two? You were looking at that army being like, I don't know what I can do about it. I'm like, dude, just charge it. You do that crap to me all the time. Just charge it, get into combat. It's done at that point in time, right?
Exactly right.
And as long as once you get in, there's no question. You got it. It's where you want it. It's the psych out that you believe the artillery is going to somehow mysteriously make all your crap disappear, which happens like one out of six games. I don't care what all the cannon haters say. The entire edition, it's one out of six games all your toys get taken away. The rest of the time, we're dumb bastards like myself are misfiring the entire time or just not wounding or you're saving on a five-up or whatever ungodly crap is going on.
You know. The high elf cheating, as Adam Lemmer usually says.
Yes, the high elf cheating. I know that high elf cheating well. So it sounds like you had a great win, though. What, did you get all 25?
I got all 25 that game.
Ooh,
yeah,
big
was,
deal.
It was a good game. So that really helped as far as the standings for that day. So
yep.
I was excited. Okay, I didn't want to get overly excited.
Overly excited.
Exactly, jinx myself.
But now you're thinking, shoot, I may get up in the big boy room, right?
Yeah, just maybe. Yeah,
just maybe. Maybe.
Maybe.
Maybe. So my game two, I go ahead and I play against a guy called Ian Holland. Now, playing Warriors of Chaos, right? Ian, I'd never played him before. He's a local guy from the area, and I'm thinking, you know what? This is going to be a blast, except until I see that he's got Hell Cannons, Chimeras, Unkillable Lords, you know, Skull Crushers. And not only is it that, but it's angle deployment. And not only is it angle deployment, but my character bus of knights with, like, my level 4, my level 1, my BSB, my Warrior Priest doesn't show up on the board to deploy, right?
That was your reinforcements?
You have to roll for it, right?
Oh, that's
rough. So that shows up in reinforcements. One of my cannons show up in reinforcements, and one of my 5-man units show up in reinforcements. So total, at this point in time, 1,400 points of my army has rolled for reinforcements. Not a happy camper, am I?
That's rough.
On angle deployment where I don't get to go first, right? So, yeah, not quite the way I envisioned it going. But again, with some luck, with some good tactics, was able to go ahead and pull another kind of Battle of Thermopylae where I could take. It wasn't exactly that way where I had two paces impassable terrain. It was more of I was able to kind of go to one side and force him around the other and kind of mitigate what he was doing. And it tended to work very well. He made a couple of bad mistakes and I was able to capitalize him. He really should have rolled me, all right? Especially when I rolled all that stuff to the outside, but didn't have it on the board. But, you know, it turned into being, I think, a 93-point draw, right? So, I mean, it's one of the closest games I played in a long time. Ian and I had a great time. We're hooting and hollering. It was some crazy atmosphere there. So I was pretty happy. And that was I was actually on table 3 at that point in time because it's such a big win. So, you know, that was a great round two. You know, where did you end up round three? Because I seem to remember being right next to you.
That is exactly right. After that big win round two, I was in the top tables. I think it was table 4 at that point. So, again, I was kind of stoked. It might have been table 6.
No, I don't think. What was it? Yeah, it was. Okay, it was table 4 because it was the next round that you were. Okay. So that's right, table 4, all right, yeah.
Yep.
You made it to the big boy room, though, because there's 6 tables in the big boy room.
Exactly right.
And you made it there, right? So you're pretty excited at this point in time.
Very. You know, again, I'm usually in the middle of the pack as far as combat goes, so I was definitely excited to be in the top, you know, tables going into that. I played a gentleman named Andrew Simons. He's a Dark Elf player. Had a blast. Okay, it was a really good game. I was able to panic some Dark Riders off the table, and then ultimately I was able to get my Silver Helm bus, a Frost Phoenix, and then some Reavers into the flank of his Cauldron, Witch Elves, all that shenanigans.
All the garbage, you know, the Blackguard and everything else that, you know, the big unit of Blackguard, the big unit of Witch Elves, the big Cauldron in there.
Shenanigans.
That you know you're going to get hit with Mind Razor for, and it's just going to shred your entire army. So, yeah, it was...
You would think.
Yeah, you would think.
But
I
ended up chasing them down after they broke in combat.
Oh, really?
It was spectacular.
Awesome.
Sorry, Andrew.
That's fantastic.
Nah, it was a great game, though. Had a lot of fun. And
Big win.
Another decent win. It was an 18-4 that time. Okay. So, you know, I was, again, very excited and real pleased with my performance after day one. So, but how was your third game, Andy?
So my game three, I actually got to play against the infamous Grant Fetter. That's
dun,
right.
Dun, dun,
dun. Dun, dun, dun. From Garage Hammer fame. So I've actually been around Grant a long time, and I've never played the man.
Great guy.
For those of you that don't know Grant, Grant's the one that runs Bits, right? You know, he's the main face. I mean, him and the Council of Three is what they call it. Chris Yu and Steve Lechman. But Grant, it was kind of his baby, his idea. He's the one who brought him on in, right?
I had the pleasure of playing against him at Buckeye Battles.
And he's fantastic, right? Grant also was one of the finalists, along with me and Scott Tipsword, in the wrestling contest the same day, which we'll talk about in a little bit. But Grant is a competitor. He's somebody who shows up to an event with the right mentality that I'm going to have a great time. And he's bringing, again, Warriors of Chaos. And one thing I didn't mention about my last game is I had to play against Hell Cannons. Well, if anybody knows Grant, Grant brings two Hell Cannons. And basically Grant's strategy is to take Warriors of Chaos, shove them down your throat, and why he's doing that to take, two Hell Cannons, Doom and Darkness you, hit you with a Hell Cannon, and make you run off the board. That's basically a strategy. And you can't argue with the strategy because it's a very good strategy, right? And, this was a hard-fought game because Hell Cannons don't die. You know what I'm saying?
Not at all.
And there was like 2 or 3 points in the game. I was pretty adamant, you know, you know how you talk to yourself in the middle of a game, right? And you're thinking about it. And I'm thinking to myself adamantly, I've lost this. I ain't got a shot. You know, I'm going to go all in on something, and if I hit it, and if I crush it, and if I blow by, I'm good to go, right?
Exactly.
And maybe I got a shot now. Well, I was able to go by, able to bluff my way through a couple other moves, because there was some combats there I didn't want no part of, and he's like looking, and he's like, oh, I'm kind of scared there, and I'm like, you must not play Empire very much, because I don't want no part of that. I know. I was like, I'm hoping you're not going to call my bluff. I hope you think I got a root fag or something, right? But we did end up getting to the end. And again, it was another draw. And this is one of those situations where if he does one more wound to me earlier in the game, I'm done, right? I've lost the game by 600 points. And at the very end, if I did one more wound, like I rolled like 12 attacks and he makes a bunch of armor saves and I try to stomp. And I only get like 4 wounds when with a unit of demigryphs and stuff. And basically you're talking, if I get the 5th wound on the stomp, because I didn't wound any on the stomp, if I get that last wound, I win by like 450 points, right? So, I mean, the game was that close where like one die roll each direction went ahead and made it, you know, it was nuts. But he basically walked out a draw again, game 3, had a great time, and... maybe in the future, in Ninth Age, if Grant picks it up, maybe we'll get a chance to have a rematch to, you know, really settle it once and for all, so to say.
Clash of the Titans, right?
Clash of the Titans, you know. Maybe he can bring the Taker or something with him, you know, this next time, because he might need it. So how about your game 4? What ended up happening for game 4? You're in a very special spot at this point in time in the tournament.
Exactly right. I was on table 2.
Can you imagine that? Jay Fares, table 2.
Exactly. First time ever. Probably the last time.
Leaply Lemmer, if you're hearing this, it is not a ruse. I physically saw him on table 2. What is better about this is at this point in time, in games 3 and 4, there's 5 Ohio Hammer guys there, right? It's widely considered that Jeremy plays the most out of 8th edition out of our group, right? And he's the one that's gone to the Masters from our group. Because let's face it, not a lot of us put it, it's not that we couldn't, we don't think, you know, get ourselves good enough to try to go, but on the same token, we don't, none of us play enough games. We only play really against ourselves and Jeremy to make certain that he gets the expertise and, you know, we can do the theory hammer and stuff so he can go out to a tournament and perform well. He's kind of like the one that, you know, we just root for in the group, right?
Because exactly.
He's the tournament hardcore. And Jeremy, at this point in time, is like 0-3 and rock bottom tables playing the ringer.
Where Jay, I usually am.
Yeah, Jay is on table 2. I'm on table 4. Bob is on table 3. And who's paired up against you as well?
Joe Getze,
who, by and large, is our worst player in the Ohio Hammer group.
Just because he never plays.
Yeah, well, no, because he plays Orcs and Goblins. And he's the spider guy that you guys have heard from the past, right? He's the goblin player that'll play, like, an all-spider army, right? So, I mean, it's just funny because our worst guys, no offense, Jay, but typically, you struggle in 5-game events.
That's exactly right.
And the guys that we have that are playing the worst are actually on table 2 deciding who is going to go to play on table 1 and maybe get best general.
Exactly.
Right, on day 2.
Kind of a big deal.
So why don't you go ahead and tell me how it went?
Well, like always, it's always a blast playing against Joe.
Yeah,
a lot of fun. He was playing a Warriors army.
Really?
Yeah. Okay. Not that Orc and Goblin stuff. You know, he was playing a full blown, you know, Warriors army that was tough as nails in my opinion. You know, had all the, you know, the unkillable stuff. There was a Demon Prince, you know, what was it, like Chimera or something like that, you know, just a bunch of random stuff that I had a hard time matching up against, in all honesty. I couldn't get my troops positioned where I needed them to be to get a favorable matchup. So a lot of it was just grinding down. In the end, I had my unit of Phoenix Guard in the middle, surrounded on 3 sides when turn 6 ended. So,
and he, I don't know if he was just doing so well because he was lucky from taking Warriors of Chaos, because he didn't even build that list.
Exactly.
That wasn't his list. That wasn't his models.
Thanks, Bob. He actually told
me one time in the tournament that he was very bored because he didn't have a shooting phase. And, I mean, it was just funny because it was another big win to Joe. And this is game 4, and Joe is in second place after game 4.
Exactly.
And then has to leave the tournament to go back home. So not only does he whoop your butt,
yep,
but he goes ahead, he doesn't sign the paper to give you the 25 to propel you in round 5 to table 1. Instead, he takes his losses, and he goes and leaves the tournament early because so he can get back in time for work. So him and Bob are gone. And just a little bit of snippet in the future, Joe finishes after 4 games higher than all the rest of the Ohio Hammer guys after 5 games. That's just a little bit of a quick snapshot of how this tournament went for us, which was pretty funny on day 2.
Exactly. So, but, you know, again, playing against Joe, great time like always. You know, 11-15 was the final. Joe took the victory there. So,
okay.
You know, but tell me about your game. How'd that end up?
You know, I got a chance to play Mike Smith, and Mike is a great player, and Mike has a demon army with a Kairos Fateweaver. And basically, I know this game is going to go one of 2 ways. Either I'm going to kill Kairos early in the game, and I'm going to roll him,
or I'm not
going to kill Kairos, and he's going to roll me. Just guess, with my record against demons, which one of those 2 things happened. I'll give you an answer. I didn't kill Kairos.
I got rolled.
He starts out, and this is what's painful, man, is he starts out, you know, I outrange him. I have good magic attacks. Everything is set up for me to kill Kairos early. And what does he start out doing? He starts the game by taking out both Hellblasters, both of them, and a freaking cannon in his first magic phase.
Not one, but 3 war machines.
3 of my 4 war machines. So I've got 1 war machine left. Hit. Do I wound? Sure do. 4 plus ward save. Awesome. So round 2, I've only got 1 war machine left. Hit. Wound. Fail the 4 plus ward save. Oh, baby, here it comes. Here it comes, because all I know is he's got like 50. He's got 50 horrors. As soon as I kill this guy, he's done, right? He ain't got nothing that I can't take. One wound, right? So then it gets Ouch. To round three, right? And I'm like, it's tough going for me, because at this point in time, he's casting a bunch of Tzeentch crap. He's setting up areas where he's getting charges off.
Shenanigans.
Yeah, it's like, oh, Mind Razor that unit. Oh, we'll just Infernal Gateway that one. And, oh, we'll Bolt of Change that one, and you're going to be gone. And then we get to the point in round three where I cast Urnian's Thunderbolt, all right? I get four wounds off and through with Urnian's Thunderbolt.
Hey, hey.
Five-wound model, right? So I'm like, wait a minute. Rolling Thunder. Nobody uses this because Kairos is a what do you call it, right? He's a flyer. Rolling Thunder, this lore attribute. Nobody uses this. D6 strength four. I'm like, Mike, this is it. I'm going to beat your, you know what I mean? Roll it. It's a one. Okay. I only need one wound. Here's what it's going to be. One wound for Rolling
Just
Thunder.
Just got to get it through.
Just got to get a five. Roll a five. Oh, I'm there, right? I just need him to roll less than a four. No,
four.
And it's all she wrote.
Son of a gun.
And what's really bad about it is the next turn, the big thing about this is I still could have fought it to a draw. So then we get to turn four. And Mike goes ahead and he makes a charge. And he says, you know what? If I make this charge, you know this is game over because I'm going to Mind Razor him, right? And I'm like, well, you know, you might not, you know what I mean? But I'm like, yeah, I could just scroll it, right? You know what I mean? So if you don't irresistible it, I'll just scroll it. No big deal, right? Mind you, Mike's already irresistible three spells by the time at this point in time of the game.
Holy cow. Which is
one reason why, like, my war machines were gone in the beginning of the game is because he just did it all the time. But I'm like, you know what? I'm not going to jeopardize the idea of him just going ahead and irresistibling Mind Razor, right? So I decide with my bunker that has Flesh Hounds charging it, I decide with my bunker that I am going to flee. Now, if anybody knows anything about Tzeentch magic, that is not a good idea. The reason that is not a good idea is because Tzeentch has a spell called Treason of Tzeentch, which you now are forced to use the lowest leadership in the unit, which is my horse, at minus one, which now becomes a four, and I don't get rerolls, right? It would be worse, or it would be better, if on the initial run, I did not run 11 to get to the board edge, so that way when I take my only leadership test, and I don't get a reroll on a four, I run off the board with like 3 inches. And it's funny because I wasn't going to run from there until he made the comment about the Mind Razor. And he swears up and down at the end, he wasn't trying to mind blank me, right? But at the end of it, I realized as soon as I made the move and I rolled the dice and I moved the guys, that's when I remembered that spell that he had it. Because Kairos has like 50 spells. I hate that character because he's got like every spell in the book.
He does what he wants.
He just does what he wants. He's a boss. He does what he wants. But I'm thinking to myself, oh my God. I have to rally now, and he's going to – I actually thought he was going to get treason off, and he was going to doom and darkness me. That's actually what I thought I was going to do. And what's bad about it is he cast treason, and I used all my dispel dice. He cast treason with, like, 4 dice. I used 6 dice to dispel it. Couldn't dispel it. Don't get my plus four. Can't use my dispel scroll. It was like, oh, my God. And that bad decision right there cost me the game. So – it is what it is. Had a great time against Mike, you know. I've stepped on him before in a tournament to go on to do well. He this time stepped on me to go ahead and do well. So, you know, tit for tat, buddy. Had a great time. Can't wait to see you again next time. How did your game five go?
All right, so game five, you know, again, I was playing Dwarves. A guy named David Locke, he's from Traverse City, so runs around with Wayne and all those guys.
Yep.
He was playing Dwarves. Remember how earlier we were talking about, you know, don't second guess myself and just charge in there?
That's right.
Do you want to know what I did?
Charged in there.
Absolutely not.
You second guessed yourself.
I sure as heck did. Yeah. And I got wiped. It was rough. It
bad,
was
bad
rough.
Decision. Bad decision.
Great guy, but you know, I should have just charged in, got into combat, and then, you know, negated his war machines and whatnot.
Yep.
But instead I hesitated, got a little gun shy, and you know, paid the price for it. So, you know. A lot of fun, you know, great guy, you know, enjoyed chatting with him, but ugh. It was rough, and dang those dwarves. Dang yep. those dwarves all
dang
to hell.
Dang those dwarves all. Yeah. That's pretty funny.
But, you know, again, good game. Overall, good tournament. I was pretty pleased with how I
how
I did.
Overall?
Exactly.
Made it all the way up to table two.
Again, that's a huge deal for me in a big tournament.
I mean, made it all the way up to table two. I mean, that's pretty solid, man.
Yeah, no, I appreciate it. You know, I do agree. You know, it was the best showing I've had. And, you know, hey, for that being the last 8th edition tournament, I'm good with being able to make it to table two. I mean, you know, that was a lot of fun, and I was real pleased with that. So, how'd your last game end up, Andy?
Well, it was kind of sad for me because for those that know the show in depth, you would know that Wayne Barry is one of our close friends from the TC War Room, Mr. BTPU himself. And Wayne has won Best General at North Star. By his theory on list building for ogres is basically a huge gut star followed by 3 saber tusks and 2 iron blasters. And if he has points, he'll throw them into man eaters or something, right? Some garbage unit, right?
Yeah, garbage
unit. Well, yeah, garbage unit, which man eaters with 2 handguns is really garbage, right? I mean, those things.
Yeah. Poison. Horrible.
Poison and... like Swift Stride
like
or something.
Scouting,
yeah, like Poison or Scouting or Poison and Swift Stride or something stupid, right? I mean, it's just... So I'm playing against this, and I know this shenanigans, and I know I ain't got nothing, right?
You know it's coming.
I know it's coming. And I mean, it's big ogre block going to get shoved up my rear. So I'm like, all right, well, I got the double Hellblaster, double cannon, so I'm going to line up. This is the 15-inch forward one, too, just so everybody knows.
Yep.
So I get to play the Gut Star of Doom. In the 15-inch forward deployment with an army that hasn't caused more than, like, 4 wounds with shooting with 2 Hellblasters and 2 cannons over 5 games. This is, like, not going to go well.
This is going to be rough.
So I line up, and what do you think happens? Do you think he gets turn 1? Oh, you betcha. He gets turn 1. Yeah, he gets turn 1. How do you think his Iron Blasters do?
Fantastic.
Oh, yeah. Both between the Iron Blasters and between this magic, right? I'm down to 1 cannon again. This feels like deja vu.
Funny how that works out.
I know, right? The only good part about this is even though I can't, like, go out after him, I now have master engineers that are worthless that I could throw out as cannon fodder because guess what? The one weakness you have in an ogre gut star is you only have 6 turns to charge stuff and kill stuff. If all I feed you is a 65-point master engineer that's on the corner that you can't charge by, that when you hit it, you have to turn 90 degrees, stop, try not to overrun, and reform at the end, guess what? I just wasted your whole turn. I did this to Wayne 5 turns, right?
And all you could do.
It's all I could do. And he told me at the end, he's like, I asked him, what do you think that I could have done with this game? I mean, in all honesty, with the way the first turn went, I couldn't do anything. He says, you played it exactly as you had to, and he actually messed up because at one point in time, his man-eaters, they left themselves open to a charge from 4 demigryphs. So, I charged 4 demigryphs in. This is another one of those situations. I caused like 9 or 10 wounds, right? And if at this point in time, he's not steadfast. So, I know he's going to be down to like a 4, right? It's just easy freaking peasy. As long as with like 12 attacks, as long as he doesn't do 6 wounds, I'm good, right?
Golden
at this point in time, because then I've broken his steadfast and all he's got is a front rank, right? Because I'll have my front rank and I'll run him down because he'd be a 4. No, he does 12 wounds, and on a 3+ armor save, I save 6. Exactly 2 demigryphons. To the gone. Man, gone. No longer can I break his steadfast. So now he's re-rollable 9 again, which means he stays. And I get all pouty-faced because, I mean, it was a fun time. But it was like, this game was a minor loss to Wayne, right? And that one shift shifted the game like 800 points. Because not only was the 400-point Maneater, not only the 250 or 270-point, you know, Demigriff unit, but those Maneaters then picked off another two units that were like 150 points each. So it was like an 800-point swing because I couldn't roll an armor save, right? A 3-up armor save. And it was like,
gotta love those dice games.
I know, right? I mean, great time, though. I love playing against Wayne. Was awesome. How about that wrestler contest? Was that not cool?
The wrestling contest was awesome.
It was
fantastic. I love the, you know, the wrestling theme all the way through the entire tournament.
It was pretty cool.
The scenarios.
Yep.
You know, just the champion got belts. I mean, you know, wrestling belts. That was awesome. But again, as far as the wrestlers, it was fantastic.
I mean, and we should throw a shout out because what they did is they went ahead and they ended up, they told us that they wanted us to come up there and do wrestling acts. So like Sergeant Slaughter, of course, I get up there and
maggots.
I start talking maggots, right? Got my chin all stuck out, right? And we'll post a picture of this, you know, on the website so you can see. But, I mean, I'm giving a speech there, and other people did. So Grant, though, shows up as Paul Bear. And if any of you have seen The Undertaker before, Paul Bear is kind of his sidekick, right? His entourage that he brings out.
Exactly.
And a short little fat guy, all white-faced with an urn. And Grant does this. Grant does this perfect impersonation of Paul Bear. And, I mean, he put a pillow around his stomach to make himself look bigger and fatter. And, I mean, he just fit it to the T.
That was
so
awesome.
You know, we kept ourselves, you know, it was like, did it a top five or top three voting, right? And it was, they had Paul Bear, you know, was one of them. Legion of Doom, you know, was one, you know, between the NWO, the new Warhammer Order. I don't know if you picked up on those shirts, right?
I did
right?
pick up on that.
You know, that was pretty slick. And then, you know, we had Alex Gonzalez dressed up as Mick Foley, you know, Alex Gonzalez from, you know, Adepticon fame, Warhammer TO over there.
Have a nice day.
Yeah, have a nice day. And he did Mr. Sacco, right? And then I had Sergeant Slaughter. And then, of course, the guy who won it all, Mr. Scott Tipsword. And why does Scott Tipsword win it all? Because he dresses up like the Ultimate Warrior. So he's basically in his underwear and armbands, right?
Yep.
With a wig, right? And some face paint. And when they call for him to come on down, he runs all the way from the back of the hall, all the way around, all the way up to the front, all the way over. And then he stops with a chair in front. And just like the Ultimate Warrior used to do, where he'd shake the ropes, right? Scott's just shaking the heck out of this chair, man. And it is just absolutely hilarious.
Dead on.
And then what is really funny about it is because they've got, you know, they've got the top five. They make us all go through again, right? And I'm a wrestling fan from when I was a kid. So I was actually, when I was dressing up as Sergeant Slaughter, I was kind of getting the idea of what to say as Sergeant Slaughter. Well, if you know history of wrestling at all, Sergeant Slaughter won the WWF Championship in Miami, Florida,
right,
from the Ultimate Warrior,
yeah,
right? So what is my speech about? My speech is going to be a feather in my cap, and I'm going to whoop all your, you know what I mean, the same as I whooped his, you know what I mean, down in Miami Beach, right? And I'm pointing right at him. And what the heck happens? He comes straight on over. We're nose to nose, and we get this perfect picture with Paul Bear in the background that is just like watching. It almost looks like the background.
Couldn't be more real. It was awesome.
It was like the background you would use for a wrestling match. But, I mean, mind you, we're two old fat men, right? But, I mean, but the fact is,
details.
We it was pretty hilarious. And this is the picture you really have to see, right?
It will be posted.
It will be posted. It was funny. Check it up on Twitter. It was awesome. So, that was a whole lot of fun. As far as winners go, I guess it's about time we do give a shout out to the winners, because for the wrestling award, you know, Mr. Scott Tipsword, he did walk away with it, mainly, I think, because he was in his underwear, right? I don't know. I think Lenny has something going for men in their underwear.
Maybe.
If it's not him, it was Fergus.
Ooh, right? Well, that
because Fergus dressed up like Scott Hall later on. Did you see that?
Yep,
skinny mini Scott Hall. Yeah,
exactly. It was, even had the hair curl in the front.
I know, right? It was pretty good. It was pretty good, but I mean, there was a lot of dress up there. But yeah, I mean, overall, for outside of the wrestling competition, you know, that was Mr. Scott Tipsword. You know, when you're looking at the overall, we had Sean Troy, right, who came in as the overall WCW winner. So that was pretty awesome. Got himself a nice, good belt, right?
Exactly. Great guy. First time I had met him, you know, so chatted him up a little bit. You know, real good guy, real good player. You know, it was, you know, nice meeting him.
And then Gary Luther walks out with Best General.
Ogres.
And then after that, let's see, Best Painted was Dennis Gugna.
Oh, right? Okay.
Dennis Gugna was Best Painted. And who was Best Sport? Oh, the... That stuff was the combined, right? We got the sports. There was an AOS tournament there as well, just so you guys knew. That's where the new Warhammer Order shirts came from because they were making fun of us a little bit. And it was much smaller than the 8th edition tournament, but it was also just funny that they all had them on at one point in time. And they actually combined the paint scoring and the sportsmanship scoring between the two events.
That's
and
right.
The best sportsman in the entire WCW event was Alex Gonzalez. So, I mean, that was pretty awesome. So, you know, a huge shout out to all the winners. You know, if I missed something, then I'm sorry, but it was a great time. You know, they had the after hours activities with the tournament that John Cash ended up holding. That was pretty awesome.
There was like what? Red Dragon Inn was
Red
in
Dragon
there.
Red Dragon Inn was what they had, right?
They had some Infinity, I think.
They were playing Infinity games and stuff.
There was several things that were going on.
I mean, it was pretty cool. I mean, the WCW guys, that Lenny, Fergus, Joel, right? I mean, they all did fantastic. I mean, there is nothing that I can say that is bad about it whatsoever. I mean, maybe Lenny's breath stinks a little bit.
Yeah, you know, details.
Yeah, details, right? But I mean, that whole WCW crew, man. I mean, they let's face it. And I'm probably missing something about that I should be thanking somebody, but basically thank
you. I'm right there with you.
You guys rocked it. You know what I mean? You rocked it out. Every single thing you did, it was just freaking awesome. So
couldn't agree more, Andy.
I was going to say, let's go ahead and take a quick commercial break, though, and get a chance, and we'll kind of close out the show and tell you about the direction we're going to take here with Ohio Hammer in the upcoming weeks, months. And I don't know if it works out well for us, maybe years.
Another turning point, a fork stuck in the road. Time grabs you by the wrist, directs you where to go. So make the best of this test and don't ask why. It's not a question, but a lesson learned in time. It's something unpredictable, but in the end is right. I hope you had the time of your life. So take the photographs and still frames in your mind. Hanging on a shelf in good health and good time. Tattoos and memories and dead skin on trial. For what it's worth, it was worth all the while. It's something unpredictable, but in the end it's right. I hope you had the time of your life. But in the end it's right. I hope you had the time of your life. It's something unpredictable, but in the end it's right.
I hope you had the time of your life. And we're back. So WCW's finally done and dusted. It was a great send-off to 8th edition, don't you think, Jay?
Couldn't agree more, Andy. It was one heck of a send-off. You know, I've been, you know, fortunate to meet a lot of great people over the course of the past few years, you know, playing 8th edition. It has been the only edition that I've known, so, I mean, I am a little apprehensive about the 9th age stuff, but, you know, I'm looking forward to it as well. I mean, I've looked at a little bit of stuff, but we'll see. We'll talk about that after a bit. But, again, I think WCW, the guys put on a great tournament. It was a great send-off. You know, like, I've only been playing a little while. Andy, you've played for numerous years, numerous editions.
Yeah.
How are you feeling, man?
It's kind of bittersweet, right? Because
don't tear up, man.
You know, I'm not going to lie. It's it almost felt like a goodbye to the last go-around, right? And that's kind of what this year has felt like, is a goodbye tour to everybody that I care about. It's like it's starting a new chapter in my life. And I wish everybody well. And to quote a song, "Save Tonight" is what I felt like the entire time over the weekend. You know, don't let this be the end because, you know, one company just happens to be a bunch of non-intelligent individuals and their marketing aspect for those of us tournament gamers. Which is one reason why things like Ninth Age, Kings of War, Chaos Wars, things of that are opportunities that the community is going to. But, you know, it was very bittersweet. We actually did a 21-ding salute. You know,
with the wrestling bell.
With the wrestling bell, did a 21-ding salute, right? It was pretty funny overall. So we had a great time. And that kind of leads us into what we're going to be doing. Now, for those that don't know, my podcast website and all of the feeds for all of the podcasts were actually down for probably about 2 months, right? And by that, I mean the site was down off and on, correct the feed, then after that, then it would go down again. And the reason why is because WordPress, there was a major attack that went on WordPress, and many sites got hacked. I know Garage Hammer got it. I know I got it. I know I thought I heard Heelan Hammer got it, you know. A lot of different websites got it. So we actually migrated everything to a place called Squarespace right now. And I'm in the process. If you're looking for our website, it's actually ohiohammer.squarespace.com right now. That'll get you to the new website. That will eventually become remapped as ohiohammer.com. But you can check out. That's actually how I'm getting the feed out to you guys. But the point of the matter is now that that's done and past me, because I'm not the technical wizard that like Bill Robertson is or anything, at this point now it's focusing on the future, you know, so we're going to start coming from the ashes. And what are we going to do here? Well, you know, you heard Jay talk a little bit about Ninth Age, and Ninth Age, it's essentially Warhammer. When you read the book, it's pretty much Warhammer. And I know people are apprehensive about rules changes. Oh, a committee of people making rules changes. Well, first of all, you have to understand, I've played 5th to 6th, 6th to 7th, 7th to 8th, and none of those games were the same. 7th was almost a 6.5-ish, right? But I can tell you back in the day, your troop sizes were 4 wide and 4 deep. So a big block unit was 16 guys. That was what you used to have back in the day, okay? Now a big block unit's 50 guys. Those two things are not the same, all right? And it feels different now than it did back then. So the idea that it's going to change again doesn't scare me because I've already lived through some very drastic changes. And most of the time it works for the better. And in this case, I think it will work for the better again. Why? It's more like a 8.5. I don't care what anyone says. I've read the rules. It's more like an 8.5. And two, it's written by gamers for gamers, right? We're talking about 8th edition Warhammer players across the world, some of which are as close as Cleveland and Columbus that are part of this effort, that are designing armies. And guess what? They're going ahead and giving feedback. So I think that this is going to be player tested, player approved, and I don't expect it to be broken, and I expect it to still be fun enough that it feels like Warhammer and we get a chance to play. So are you excited, Jay?
I am excited. I think you kind of hit the nail on the head right there by saying that it's by gamers for gamers. Even if it's not supported by a company, I think that, again, you know, there's been a really, actually a phenomenal group of folks out there. The community has been fantastic. So I think, you know, the reasoning for, you know, having maybe the Ninth Age is to keep that community together. That way we can get together for tournaments, you know, not only to play, use our plastic models painted that look phenomenal, but to get together with the guys that we only see a few times a year.
That's right.
Have a great time, maybe drink a few adult beverages, you know, maybe get into some shenanigans, but overall, have a great time. And I'm hoping that that's what, you know, we're able to continue and keep doing through with Ninth Age.
So as far as the future goes, you've now figured out we're going to go to Ninth Age. What can you expect in the next episode? We're actually going to be joined by Bill Robertson as a co-host for the interim.
Right? Hooray.
Yeah, hoorah. So, I mean, he's coming on board. And we're going to start a series of episodes about why play 9th edition and guiding our previous play previous player base from 8th edition into a 9th edition mentality, which we'll go ahead and we'll teach you the rules. You know, we'll talk about the differences of the games. Understand that there will be talk on Ohio Hammer of other gaming systems. This will not be 9th edition exclusive, but the other gaming system that I know that I'm deeply entrenched in is Kings of War. Understand, guys, I've already got the Countercharge podcast for that, so there's no reason in me just talking an hour and a half on this podcast about Kings of War. You know, this is really meant for 9th edition and other than that, you know, maybe we'll bring on War Machine, some Malifaux reviews or whatever. But by and large, the people you're going to see on here are going to be 9th edition folk. And we're going to talk about the game. And then as I get this campaign and get off my duff, we're going to talk about the campaign and getting back to doing what we do best, which is gaming in our basements, drinking beer, and then going out to tournaments and having fun. Because you know what? A 30 to 40 player man event is just as fun as a 120-man player event, if not more fun, because it's a tighter-knit group.
Some people might say right? More fun.
So it's not necessarily that you have to have 150 guys or 700 guys or whatever, right? It's not that. You don't have, not everybody has to be Adepticon, right? It's not bigger is always better. And as far as Jeff Parker's made a great point months ago when they were all talking about this, and that is the fact he's been playing he's been playing historical miniatures for, it feels like hundreds of years because he's an old fella. But, sorry, Jeff.
Not that old.
I know, right? But he's been playing it for a long time, and he's often been criticized that his systems that he's been playing have been unsupported. But yet, the historical community in Ohio is pretty robust, right? Well, since it's
most
pretty,
definitely.
So if it's pretty robust and it's survived all these years unsupported, then there's no reason to say we can't do the same thing with our fan base system, being that it's basically the same rules anyway, which is why we're going to guide you through that. And if you're interested, I suggest you give it a shot. I think it's worth it. I think Kings of War is worth it. I think War Machine's worth it. But we're going to sit here and we're going to promote Ninth Age. So that's kind of the show in a nutshell. You have anything more you want to say, Jay?
I'd say let's make sure you're playing Ninth Age. Don't burn your models like that guy on the internet did.
Yeah, don't burn your models. Because, let's be honest, I'm going to be opening OCON registration here very soon. And yes, for those wondering, we will have a Ninth Age tournament. Ninth Age will be there. Kings of War will be there. 40K will be there. And I'm still working on Malifaux and War Machine. So we'll see if I can get them there too. But yes, there will be a Ninth Age tournament at OCON 2016. 2-day, 5-game event. And it'll be happening first weekend in March. So be ready, guys. Check out the OconSquarespace.com site or go ahead and check me out on Facebook and be ready because it's coming. On that note, guys, Jay, it's been a pleasure. Have a good one, sir.
Thanks for having me, Andy. Have a great day.
Let it roll right off your shoulder, don't you know? The hardest part is over, let it in. Let your clarity find you in the end. We will only just remember how it feels. Our lives are made in these small hours. it's like.